Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 100. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before him with shouts of joy. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture. Enter his gates with thanks. Enter his courtyards with praise. Thank him, bless him, his name, because the Lord is good. His loyal love lasts forever. His faithfulness lasts generation after generation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Can you put the last slide of the scripture reading up for a moment? Just read that. Oh, I just meant to yourself. Yeah, either way is fine, because the Lord is good. God's loyal love lasts forever. God's faithfulness lasts generation after generation. I'm not going to preach on that. But that's like the best news of the morning, don't you think? I mean, I was just reading that. I thought, what good news that is in my personal life, but what good news it is for all of us and for all the people who have gone before and all the people that will come hereafter. Amen? So I wonder, we're going to talk about servanthood, and I wonder if you'd pray for me and with me as we begin. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. Lord, I believe that you have been in the preparation of this message, but now, as important as that time is, I pray that you could be with all those who listen and who receive, and even the one who speaks, that you would continue to do your work, which only the Holy Spirit could do, which is to speak to our hearts as a collective congregation and as individuals within it. Each of us has something that we've come to hear this morning, and only you know what it is. And so I pray that you would use this time for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking, you see this diagram, if this is your first Sunday, that illustration behind me, we've been talking about the long, steady walk of faith. We've been talking about how as you go through time as a Christian, it's a journey, and we're growing in the love of God over the years. But like any walk, like any hike, there are certain habits that if you have the habits, you'll do better at the hike. You'll enjoy it more. It'll be a more joyful experience for you, and you'll actually complete the journey, which is what we're all trying to do. We don't want to fall off on the way somewhere. And so today, we've been talking about different habits. You can go back and check those sermons out. But today, we're going to talk about the habit of service. Now, that's an easy one to talk about. We talk about this in church a lot. And that's because the call to kindness and compassion, the call to humility, it's woven throughout the Scripture. So you're going to find it almost anywhere you go in the Bible, you're going to find this persistent calling to service. You're going to see it exemplified in the life of Jesus, who did miracles so that people's lives could be assisted, who stopped his journey quite often to have conversations with people he probably didn't have time to have, and sometimes he went away to get away and the crowds would follow him to where he was going. Jesus' life was a life of servanthood. And then, of course, you would think, well, the 12 people who followed him, that first inner circle of disciples, they got it, right? And the answer is, sometimes. They're a lot like us. I don't know about you, but I get servanthood sometimes, but many days I'm just not into it. Many days I have to have the Lord remind me that servanthood is the ethos of the faith. It is a critical, critical habit for the journey. And so Jesus' disciples would come to him sometimes and they'd say, hey, who's the greatest among us? Who gets the best seat at dinner tonight? Hey, who's the one you really love? And one time hearing questions like that, Jesus said this in the Gospel of Mark. You can just picture him sitting him down and just shaking his head again and saying, listen, if anyone wants to be first, that person shall be last of all and what? Servant of all. So it's not a hard topic because Scripture has it through and through. Jesus talked about this. As Christians, the call to servanthood is pretty straightforward. I feel like we could end the sermon and go get lunch early. Who's in on this? I mean, it's there, okay? I mean, done and done. But the problem is many of us have the Goldilocks problem. Many of us want to serve. Many of us understand the call to servanthood. We kind of want to do it, but we have the Goldilocks problem is we're waiting for everything to be just what? Right. Just right. I heard a pastor say one time, we think to ourselves, you know, I can serve at my best when my needs are met. My social needs, my spiritual needs, my caffeine needs, when I've had enough downtime, when I've had enough me time, when I'm generally full, my tank is generally full, then I'll be at my best and I'm going to bring you something really fresh and good. When I get it just right. It's the Goldilocks problem. We're waiting for that just right moment. And add to that, many of us want to, and I'm one of these people, we want to serve when it's personally fulfilling. I mean, won't I serve best when I feel fulfilled in my servanthood? And we've got a lot of things that help us these days. And I want to say something clearly here. I am not making fun of any of these tests that I'm about to describe. I've taken them all. I've benefited from them all. But many of us are like, you know what, when it works out with my Enneagram number, then I'm definitely in to that type of servanthood. You know what, when I get my Myers-Briggs letters all in a row and all fulfilled and it meets that criteria, then I'm in. You know what, when my StrengthFinders, and we did StrengthFinders here at Floris, I love StrengthFinders, when all of my strengths can be brought forth to this area of servanthood, then I would love to serve. Because there's a part of us that isn't looking for just servanthood. There's a part of us that wants to get our number, our strength, and our profile letters lined up properly. But underneath all that, as important as that is, underneath all that, the foundation of servanthood is not my fulfillment. Foundationally, underneath all those things, before those things can be really activated, I have to accept the commandment of God to be a servant. I have to want to serve. And what I find is, at the beginning of the journey, at the beginning of the long, steady walk, that was easier. I have found that now that I'm way down the road, I want... This is so weird to say this out loud, and I just sort of thought of saying it this way. I want servanthood to serve me. And I don't know what happened between there and here, but something did. Well, that foundation of servanthood, I was thinking about that this week, and I recall a moment in my life when I understood it, and I understood the Scripture. I understood the Scripture really well about servanthood. And I'm going to come eventually to Psalm 100 and you'll see it. That happened when I was a child. I was a kid and I was in Berryville, Virginia. That's where my grandparents lived and they had a home in downtown to the extent there is a downtown. And they were, my grandfather always had a garden and I can still picture the red clay soil of Clark County. That's that shallow soil right above the limestone. And I don't know how my grandfather did it, but with that soil, he produced every summer an amazingly beautiful garden. And I remember standing outside the little fence row that made that garden and just looking in, and I was the youngest. And one day, my grandfather and I walked out there together, and there was something in my garden, in that garden, that my grandfather would not abide, and that something was weeds. And my grandfather did not put up with weeds in the garden. And I was as stunned as a child because, honestly, it's like I walked out and went, oh, there they are. Like, how did you guys get in? And my grandfather, he saw them at the same time, and he looked at me, and he said, hey. Now, I was the youngest grandchild. And can I just tell you something? I don't know if my grandfather actually knew my name. I don't know. Because I was thinking about this week, I was like, did he ever actually use your name? And I don't recall, I'm sure he did, because he was a wonderful man. He was a lovely man. But he always would start the sentence the same way. Hey. And he'd say, hey, go get the hoe from the garage. You're going to get in there and weed those. Do that weeding. I couldn't believe it, you all. I could not believe it because I wasn't sure how he felt about me. But I knew one thing. He loved those tomatoes. He loved those tomatoes. And if you got to get in the garden with a hoe, it meant you were respected. Not just any yahoo was getting in off the street to my grandfather's garden. And so when he said, hey, go get the hoe, here's what I didn't do. I didn't look at my grandfather, and I'm trying to imagine what would have happened if I would have done this. If I would have looked at my grandfather and said, Granddaddy, I don't really feel like weeding today. It's just not my vibe today. You know, maybe you could come back next week. I didn't do that. No. You know what else I didn't do? I didn't say, you know, Granddaddy, my Myers-Briggs is an ENTP, and the E is rather strong, and so I tend to like things with a lot of people around me, unlike the solitary work of hoeing this row, and I'm just not sure that's working for me. I didn't say to my grandfather, hey, Granddaddy, I'm an Enneagram 7. We like creativity and problem solving. And frankly, I'm not sure that, you know, hoeing the row is worthy of me. By the way, that was a very good idea not to say that to this grandfather. But the reason I didn't say it is not because I was wise or knew something. The reason I didn't say it is I was a child. I was a child. And as a child, when my grandfather said, go get the hoe, I couldn't believe I was getting that opportunity. I mean, I knew intrinsically because I felt secure when I was in my grandfather's presence. So I must have known that my grandfather loved me, but I wasn't quite sure he knew my name. And so there was some insecurity. And I thought we were like this because he used to, from time to time, he would look at me and he'd say, hey, you want to go walk up to the Tasty Freeze and get an ice cream cone, which was great. And I remember the time earlier that summer that when he said, hey, do you want to get an ice cream cone? Because it was like right across the street. We went over there, and I walked in, and I said, well, can I have a small chocolate? And because my grandmother, she was pretty tight, so I knew that we weren't going to get anything big. And then my grandfather leaned in, and he went, make it a large. Whoa. But the ice cream maker that day was not putting out that really strong soft serve ice cream. It was the weak and the kind, and she was sort of, and it was, by the time she got to a large, it was the Leaning Tower of Pisa is what it was. And then we walked outside, and it was like 200 degrees out there, and I'm not joking, I was like, yeah, I was working it to death, and despite all the work, it was within 2 minutes that ice cream cone just went, woo, boom. And it hit the concrete. It was not good. And I knew I'd really blown it. And I remember what my grandfather said. I will never forget this. And if you're a man, you understand this moment. He looked at me and said, hey, let's not tell your grandmother about this. And I was like, we're in on a man conspiracy here. We got something now that only we know. Kids, this is a bad thing. Don't ever. This is not a good thing, but it's kind of an awesome thing. So the point is, if you're a kid and you've got just a little bit of insecurity, and your grandfather says, go get the hoe, you're going to hoe that, what you know is you're going to go inside the fence and hoe, and your grandfather is going to stand outside the fence and tell you what to do. And here's what you know, that is a relationship. That is communication. That is connecting to an activity, and he's inviting you, literally inviting you into his world. And that's what I call a great day. What if we serve God like that? What if we serve God not with all the conditionality of an adult, but with all the joy of the child? What if it was like that every day? What if our servanthood became something that we just did with great joy? In this long, steady walk, that would put a spring into our step. That would help us capture the childlike exuberance. And Psalm 100 calls us to this. Read this out loud with me. And if you're at home, would you read it with everybody here in the sanctuary so we can be together and worship in that way? Just read it out loud. 1, 2, 3. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before the Lord with shouts of joy. Now that second line, read it again. Serve the Lord with celebration. Now, when I read that this week, I thought, I think that's the Common English Version. When I read it, I was like, that's not right. Psalm 100, that's not how I memorized it. So I looked at another version of the Bible, and here it is. Here's two different versions, that same line. I memorized it growing up as worship the Lord with gladness. But what you just read was, read it with me, serve the Lord with celebration. And the Hebrew word that's used here can go in either direction, which gives us a little bit of insight. Service, when we serve others, when we serve God, it's a form of what? Of worship. And I don't know about you, but my spirituality, when we talk about that practice of prayer and stillness, friends, I've got to hunker down, and I don't want to say I have to work at that, but that doesn't come naturally to me. But I have times when I'm serving the Lord, when I get in a zone of joy, and I just think, you know what? I love this. And it feels like worship, because it feels like the experience of a relationship. It feels like God's calling in over the fence, saying, keep doing that, or now go do this. And it just feels connected, which isn't that what people experience in prayer? When people have a sincere life of prayer, when we pray and we have stillness, don't you sometimes in prayer feel that connectivity? That's what the joy is. And so Psalm 100, oddly, is telling us about servanthood, because this isn't a go-to text for this sermon. But it's saying, if you serve the Lord with gladness, if you've served the Lord with celebration, then you'll be like a child running toward the opportunity to serve as a way to honor God and know God better. And when I picked up that hoe, I was certain, let me tell you something, when I picked up the hoe, I was certain of one thing. I was a beloved child. I mean, strange as it sounds, when I picked up my grandfather's hoe, in fact, the head of the hoe fell off that day. And I was like, oh. And he took me into the garage, and he took a wedge, a metal wedge. It was a cement nail, actually. And he held the thing upside down, and he put the hoe end on top, and he slammed that wedge in there with a hammer, and I was blown away that he repaired it that fast. Like, I just couldn't. I was just like, you are Superman. And he looked at me and he said, old man still knows a few tricks, doesn't he? Isn't it interesting I can still remember that today, and it's still that fresh? Well, what was going on there? The servanthood created community. Now look at the next verse of Psalm 100. Read it with me. And again, at home, I want you to read it with us. Know that the Lord is God. God made us. We belong to Him. We are God's people, the sheep of God's own pasture. I mean, isn't that amazing? Now look at this version of the same text. And now I've put some things in capital letters. So when I put it in capital letters up here, would you say it a little bit louder? Say that word just a little bit louder and punch it up. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to the Lord. We are God's what? People. We are God's people. Isn't that amazing? The sheep of what? I mean, this is amazing news. There are days when I need to be reminded of this. There are days when, I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded that I am actually a beloved child of God. And I'll tell you something, your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health are very well served to know that you're beloved. And when you get rid of the insecurity of wondering, does God know my name? And you have personal moments with the Lord. And what this psalm is teaching us, I think, is when we serve the Lord with celebration, we start to understand our identity as children of God. And that's your identity, and that's your identity, and yours, and yours, and yours. Well, the whole choir, of course. That's who we are. And think about what that does to your servanthood. Think about what that does to the everyday acts of servanthood that are a part of your life. Because Psalm 100 tells us that when we get the right attitude about service and we serve with celebration, then we begin to build the right relationship with the Lord, because the spring is in our step. And we are more like the child running to the garage and less like the adult saying, I need it just right. And that's important, because most servanthood in your life and in my life, it's not about the big moments. It's just not. Nobody's ever going to write a book about the normal moments of servanthood in our life. It is not about life-altering work. It is what most people would consider the small stuff. The small stuff. So often we want some dramatic, revolutionary thing or nothing at all. And the risk of that is we miss the very basic things where we're called to serve and to love other people. The bed has to be made, friends. The bathroom has to be cleaned. The kids need the ride, and they need it with an adult who's joyful about it, not angry about it. The foot needs to be rubbed sometimes, and somebody's got to be on the rubbing end of the foot. The friend needs to have a conversation and not a quick, yeah, I'm in a hurry, I don't have time for you. The coffee reservoir simply must be filled. The meal needs to be delivered. And Shane Claiborne said this wonderful thing. He's an author. He said, everybody wants a revolution, but nobody what? Wants to do the dishes. But community is about doing the dishes. What if today, from now on today, every act of servanthood you did it with joy. And you winked at God. And you said, we're in this together. What would that do for your identity as one of God's children? And this is true in your life. It's also true in your church. And here's the great thing. I don't have some big recruitment thing today. We don't have a giant recruitment problem right now, because we barely know how to do church anymore. So, but I'll tell you something, the pandemic dismantled our service structure in a couple of areas that we're putting back together now. So the choir's recruiting, and we're trying to get, we need Kid Nation and Crossroads volunteers. You can put that up on the screen for me. I don't know where I am in the sermon, but this is a good time to say it. You're going to see that we need these volunteers for Kid Nation. And it's not a lot. It's about 4 and 5 volunteers at different worship services. So if you come to 11, you could do this. I need 4 of you to sign up for Kid Nation. Crossroads, first time in my ministry here, we had all the men we needed, and we need women volunteers. We've never had a shortage of women until this year. Now, I know many of you are not comfortable being inside, and so we've got volunteer opportunities for you to be outside. We're going to do Journey to Christmas. We're going to do Trunk or Treat in October. Those are all outside events. I'm betting you are doing things outside. So I think anybody in this church who wants to serve has an opportunity in the coming weeks. And Kim Harney, do you have the Kim Harney slide? Did we ever get that together? Kim Harney, this is Kim. Kim's going to be outside the doors right here. And she's got a table right there, and she can sign you up. She's got other opportunities for hospitality, for 2 or 3 other things that I've forgotten by now, but it's all there, and Kim can help you do that. And I hope that she'll do that. And if you're online, it's on the webpage. So just go to the Serve tab, open it up, and there's plenty of opportunities. Why am I saying this? Because during the pandemic, many of us took our servant mantle and just laid it down and said, life's too much. We're now to the place where we're learning how to do life amidst a pandemic, and we just have to figure it out. And here's something I just want to note to you. Servanthood is what builds community. Servanthood is when people get to know your name, when you begin to do this long, steady walk with a sense that I'm not alone. And I'll have to tell you something. Some of the people that are the most emotionally healthy right now are people that have been volunteering with things like Grace Ministries and the food distributions. Last week, we had a golf tournament. Members of this church worked with Helping Children Worldwide. A fantastic array of volunteers, two key leaders help with this, and they've been doing it for years. Doug and Tom have been doing this for years, and they raised $100,000 for the Child Rescue Center and Mercy Hospital. $100,000. It's just a remarkable thing. But I'll tell you something. I golf once a year at that golf tournament, and when you see me golf, you know that's true. But I do it, but I have rarely been to something that was so high energy in the past 5 months. Why was it so high energy? Well, first, they were golfing, so I wouldn't call that deep servanthood, but you get the idea. But it's a really expensive round of golf, that's servanthood. And people were just so happy to see each other, so happy to be known. No matter where you serve in the life of the church, no matter where you serve in your home, no matter where you serve with your friends, no matter where you serve at school, no matter where you serve, if you do it with gladness, you're going to come to enjoy people around you, and you will feel the smile of God like a little kid with a big long hoe looking up at his grandfather, thinking, I'm in. I have a place. I have an identity. I am known. Servanthood is not about you logging hours. It's about how you relate to the Lord and how you get to know the other servants in the field. It's always been about those two things. And I just think we're so fortunate that from time to time, without overwhelming us, the Lord God, who created the heavens and the earth, looks at us and whispers, fill the coffee reservoir. Don't let anybody see you. Clean the sink and put a smile on their face. Rub the foot, even if you don't feel like it. It's just amazing. I hope that you find the joy of servanthood. Amen. Amen.